Inside Black and Gold. One more segment to go on this episode, and it's going to be head coach. Who's going to be the next head coach for the Saints? We don't know right now, but we do know the candidates that they are looking at the moment, right? This list could change. I expect it to get longer. I don't think that this will be the end of the list. You know, we're talking about how many, 8 names right now, not including the 2 names that kind of got thrown out there and then shot down. And those 2 names, both Broncos guys, Davis Webb and David Shaw, both obviously Sean Payton connections, but you know, both Southern California roots. Davis Webb was a quarterback at Cal, the Fighting Cam Jordans, and David Shaw was a longtime head coach at Stanford, has a connection to Sean Payton that goes back to his Eagles days. Obviously, he's an executive for the Broncos right now on Sean Payton's team, but the reports are, hey, that was erroneous. That's just not true. We'll see how that goes. We'll see if maybe they just jumped the gun and they are guys who might be interviewed. But for now, there has been no request made for those interviews. But for now, let's just say, okay, the candidates that have been requested. Obviously, Darren Rizzi is going to interview for that job. We know that. He's also going to interview for the Jets head coaching job, or at least he's been requested. That's always the thing when you talk about, hey, these guys are requested to be interviewed. That doesn't mean the interviews will actually happen. They can say no. Like that's the thing. Like if a coach gets requested to be interviewed and they don't want to, they don't have to. It's not a requirement in most cases, especially for coaches that maybe not be at the top of the list for head coaching openings. You know, just going through the interview process is a positive. It's a step toward potentially getting that head coaching job, especially if you haven't done a lot of these interviews. It's just an opportunity to see what that process is like. It's extensive. Teams can't do in-person interviews until January 20th, and that's even longer if it's a coach on a team that's still in the postseason. Most of these interviews could then be done in the open week between the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl if this is a coach on a team that's playing in the Super Bowl. But a lot of these can happen this week in terms of, okay, you are out of the postseason. You can interview this week. You are on a bye. You can interview this week. You can only do virtual interviews, and they can only be up to 3 hours long. It doesn't sound like a lot, but when you talk about like these full-fledged head coaching interviews, you're talking an entire day. You're talking 6 to 8 hours of full-time interview. You know, you're meeting with dozens of people. You're meeting with staffers. You're getting quizzed. You're getting questioned. You know, they're really trying to dig into who you are. And that's why, you know, Darren Rizzi is going to have a much different interview than, say, Mike Kafka, a guy who has never been a head coach and is kind of like, okay, what would you be as a head coach? Whereas like the Saints at least have a picture of what Darren Rizzi is going to operate like as a head coach. They aren't going to know exactly what he's going to do in every situation. They aren't going to know what his plans are going to be going into a season as the head coach. And he said, hey, change is needed. I want to change things, but you have to be careful about the things you do change. It has to be a balance. And I think that's where I get kind of annoyed when I have conversations with people like, tear it down, start from scratch. And the conversation ends there because it's not that simple, right? Like, okay, the tree grew crooked, right? The tree that you planted, it grew like that. And like that, it's never going to get where it needs to go. It's never going to get to a point where it's getting all the sun. If you're in the forest and you grow crooked, you're going to inevitably just die on the vine. Like you're never going to get to a point where you actually get to the top of the tree line and you get the sunlight, right? So you could pull that crooked tree out and plant a new tree, but unless you figure out what you did wrong the first time, it's just going to grow crooked again. So like that's a really kind of lame analogy for there are things that you have to fix, but you don't know what those are. If every time you get into this point, you get to this point, you just tear everything out root and stem and start from scratch, you know, like, yeah, maybe that does solve the problem, but maybe it doesn't. Maybe you're just going to continue to do the same thing. So where were the breakdowns? What were the problems? You have to fix those. And so that's going to be, if you're hiring Darren Rizzi, which I don't think is likely, but he is going to get a legitimate shot. That's what you're trying to figure out. And it's funny because if you look at it and you say, hey, I want changes in the front office. I think the front office is the biggest problem. And like I said, with you know, with with the restructures, like it's another situation where you have guys, people arguing out of both sides of their mouths, because I hear people saying Dennis Allen's the worst coach ever. And, you know, he should have been able to win 10, 12 games with this team. But then I hear those same people saying Mickey Loomis is the worst GM ever. He constructed a roster in a situation that nobody can win with. So which is it? Because it can't be both. It can't be both of those things. Either Dennis Allen is bad because he could not win with this group, or Mickey Loomis is bad because he gave Dennis Allen a group he couldn't win with. It can't be both of those things. And if you're going with a Darry Rizzi, you actually have a much better chance to solve problems in the front office than if you hire a new coach, because if you hire a new coach, most likely you're just going to end up running it back with that system and saying all the issues were on the coaching side, and let's see what happens when we change that. So I don't know. Like, I think people need to be honest with themselves and like, do your arguments make sense with each other, or are you just talking to talk? Because a lot of times I just give up on people. Because it's like, how can you be mad about all of these disparate things? Pick something and fix it. And that's what the Saints need to do. Either way, so let's go through this list. Darry Rizzi, obviously the interim coach. Aaron Glenn, Lions defensive coordinator. He's probably the hottest name in terms of who, you know, where the smoke is for the Saints in terms of, you know, Drew Brees wants him. He's a former Saints assistant. He's played for the Saints. Everyone knows him. He's, you know, he's got a great resume this year, because if you're talking about, man, what is he working with right now? And he's still got the number one and on the defensive side of the ball. So many injuries, an insane number of injuries. And he's still got that Lions team playing good football. They just shut down the Vikings in the season finale to win the one seed, right? Like, that's a big deal. You know, another Saints connection, Joe Brady, Bills offensive coordinator. You know, he's probably better known for being the pass game coordinator for that Lions. Wow, wrong types of cats. Tigers, LSU Tigers team that had Joe Burrow, national champion, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, even Clyde Edwards-Helaire on that roster. And, you know, that's where he went from there to the Panthers, another cat. Right, just a lot of cats going on. Did not go well. Didn't land. It was a Teddy Bridgewater team. Ended up getting fired. He's now with the Bills, the offense coordinator. He kind of elevated to that job when they fired Ken Dorsey. Done a good job there. And, you know, with the connection from the Saints, he was an offensive assistant in the 2018 season before going to LSU. There's some obvious things to like there. Kellen Moore, Eagles offensive coordinator. Anytime you're, you know, the offensive coordinator for a team that's dominating, you're gonna get some attention. He's been in these conversations before. You probably remember him more for his time at Boise State as quarterback. You know, a lot of these guys are former players, right? Anthony Weaver, Dolphins defensive coordinator, another former player. You know, he's probably a guy that people don't know a ton about, but he's been in the coaching ranks forever, well respected. Cliff Kingsbury is the latest name on that list, Commanders offensive coordinator. I think this would be the least inspired decision the Saints could make, but he is a former player, did spend time with the Saints. There are pictures of Cliff Kingsbury throwing passes in a Saints jersey. Not many of them, but they exist. You can find the photos there in the archives. Go find them. And a couple others, Giants offensive coordinator Mike Kafka. This one would probably be an eyebrow raiser just in terms of, you know, the last two seasons the Giants offense has been ugly. UGLY, ugly. But if you go back to 2022, you know, he was the offensive coordinator then. They kind of surprised a lot of people. They won a playoff game. They beat Kirk Cousins and the Vikings in the wild card round, moved on. You know, that was Brian Daboll's first year as head coach. They did a lot of really good things with Daniel Jones that year. Still, it's just hard for me to look at that Giants organization, which is a cluster of its own. It's a team that easily could have decided to move on from their head coach, decided not to. I don't know. I don't know if that's the vine that I want to be plucking off of. And then the final one, Mike Vrabel, former Titans head coach. They could interview him now. There's nothing preventing the Saints from doing that. They don't have to request it. So we're not going to get that type of information in terms of, okay, his team that he's on has to give permission. But the problem with Mike Vrabel is it's really hard to look at the Patriots and not see that as a firing set up to hire Mike Vrabel. Now, the Patriots might end up with a wrongful termination suit based on how that all went down with Gerard Mayo, but it's just tough to see that as an option for the Saints. Either way, those are the candidates. So the next question you ask is the one Bobby Hebert asked, which is, are the Saints the worst possible landing spot? And this is, let's just play what Bobby said here.
Well, the more I look at it, I don't think we mean the bottom of the totem pole. We're not going to be able to pick who we want because they're going to, the ones we might want, they might pick another team. I just look at the salary cap. It's like, you got to be kidding me. You think, like, is that a misprint when you look at all the teams that are dealing with the salary cap? And, no, I'm looking at all the teams, and even, like, the Jets, they have $30.5 million. We're the only one in the negative. So why, if you're a young, up-and-coming coach, and we really don't know the future of the quarterback position, because I think Derek Carr is short-term, well, why are the Saints attractive? I'm just being objective. I'm just keeping it real. I'm not trying to say, oh, we're going to be able to get the coach we want. Okay, we're familiar with Aaron Glenn. But you know who else is familiar with Aaron Glenn? It's the Jets. But I think, you know, Vrabel, you know, you always try and embrace and Robert Kraft as, oh, the Patriots way. Well, the Patriots way was Belichick and Tom Brady.
Right.
You know, that's why we got to forget Sean Payton and Drew Brees ain't coming back. That's why the bottom line is you have to win. It's a lot of different ways to skin a cat. You say, oh, look at the stability of the Steelers. In 6 years, they've only had three coaches. Okay, but there's a lot of different ways. You just have to win. Look at the stability of the Ravens ever since they came over from Cleveland. If I'm a Cleveland, if I lived in Cleveland my whole life, well, that's our team. That's really the Cleveland Browns. They moved up to Baltimore. But the point being, so I don't know. You might want a young up-and-coming coach, but if a young up-and-coming coach like Ben Johnson, like the Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, well, he may have other options besides the Saints. So let's say, okay, am I going to go and have an opportunity to coach Caleb Williams maybe and the Bears versus the Saints? And the same thing with Mark May and the Patriots. That's why I think the Patriots and the Bears are attractive, especially the Patriots. But if their GM does the right thing and how you can turn things around and get a good mixture and you hit on the draft and you get the right free agents coming in, no, the Patriots can go from the outhouse to the penthouse fast, I think, is where they're sitting. Because I don't know. I look at their quarterback, and, Jeff, I don't know if you and Steve are a fan of him, but I'm a fan of Drake May. I mean, and I think he's proven he's kind of been under the radar because when you think about it, Jaden Daniels has been unbelievable. You know what he's done with Washington. But you look at who's young. Now, you don't have to be a rookie. But the young rookie stable quarterbacks, Drake May is way more stable than Caleb Williams right now. And then you look at the Prince. How about the Prince in Jacksonville? You got to pay that cat $55 million. What has he done? He looks pretty. I don't know.
He does look pretty.
I don't know. But what has he really done with Jacksonville? So I kind of look at who's attractive, who's the quarterback, and that's why the Saints, who might have to still, and that might not be instant fix, and we might have to weather the storm, and it might be something we have to think as who that nation fans, Saints fans, you know, ever the instant drive through. That's why it was invented. We want it now. It might not be all of a sudden that the Saints, oh, we're doubling our win total. Next year, we're going to go 10-7. We won only five games, but we're going to win 10 next year. I think that'd be an unbelievable accomplishment. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but that's what it takes to be in the postseason. Think about this. The Seattle Seahawks, I'd feel good if I'm a fan of theirs, if you're objective. They won 10 games and didn't make the playoffs. Every team that made the playoffs have to win double digits. Now, if you're in a sorry division, maybe like, I don't know, AFC South, NFC South, a 9-8 could get you there, depending on the particular season. They look, Tampa Bay has to win 10 games. So, to me, you got to give the fans hope. Everybody would want to win. Yeah, go 13-4, 14-3, or 12-5, whatever. To me, if you get the double-digit wins, it's hard in the NFL. And if you can get that, you give the fans hope. I just don't know if we're quickly going to turn that around. And all of a sudden, oh, well, we haven't made the playoffs four straight seasons. Well, I think after next year, I'm trying to be optimistic, but I'm trying to be realistic. I think it might be five seasons because I just don't see us jumping from where we at. And the youth of our, the lack of youth on our team, we got to hit on more than one draft. To go from 5 to 10 wins, I just don't see that happening next year. And I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. I'm just trying to, you know, want my opinions. That's what I think.
Yeah. So as Bobby put it, bottom of the totem pole. And that's, you know, I think that's a fair way to put it. Because when you talk about the Saints situation, the Saints in this conversation with these other five coaching opportunities. The situation you look at, if you're the head coach, is, okay, who's my quarterback? And what's my cap space? What's my situation? How can I succeed here? Like, look at Jim Harbaugh. Like, you think he had to think long and hard about where he wanted to go coach? Or did he just say, oh, Justin Herbert? I want me some Justin Herbert in my life. And we've seen how that goes in year one. Like, coaches want to go somewhere where they can succeed. And if they look at this team and say, I'm going to fail there, why would you go? If you're a coach with options, why would you pick that team? And here's the breakdown, right? Quarterback salary cap space. Patriots, quarterback Drake May, number three overall pick in the draft, right? Like, you know, they struggled at points this year. They were an undisciplined team, but he did some nice things. Drake didn't start right away. They allowed him to sit and learn. Got a lot of upside. In the bigger number that you're looking at, and the bigger selling point, Patriots, most cap space available in the NFL, $123 million. $123 million free. They can do whatever the hell they want with that $123 million. Again, remember, the Saints are negative $50 million right now. So by that number, the Patriots have $173 million more available than the Saints right now. Next, the Raiders. This is kind of an interesting one because the Raiders don't have a quarterback. The Raiders have Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew, right? Like, but neither of those guys is gonna be super attractive. But what will be super attractive is, hey, I got a high draft pick and I got $107 million in cap space I can mess with, and I feel like the team can build something around me. So I'm putting that ahead of the Saints. Next one, Bears. This is probably better than the Raiders, but the cap space isn't as elite. But you got Caleb Williams and you got $80 million in cap space. You got the number one overall pick in the draft from last year. I'm still not sold on him as a star quarterback in the NFL. I think he's going to be one of these guys that is in the league for a long time, but I just have not seen enough right now to anoint him. Like, if he was playing more like Jaden Daniels, I think that's what Caleb has to do, is play more like Jaden Daniels, is not try to extend every play, but extend when it makes sense and make plays when it makes sense and make plays with your legs when it makes sense. Instead, he's just doing, you know, kind of crazy stuff. Either way, I'm a coach going into my first or second head coaching tenure, and I'm like, yeah, I could sign on for that. I can make that work. $80 million in cap space. Next one, Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence, $35 million in cap space. Not exactly a dream scenario. You're going to Jacksonville. It's a tiny little market. Trevor has not exactly taken steps forward in the last couple of years, whether you put on Doug Peterson or not. This is also a franchise that is very, very quick to fire head coaches. Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't have fired Urban Meyer, but when you were a team with a track record of firing coaches after one season, it's tough. And that's probably the only check mark I put in the Saints column in this conversation, is whatever coach they hire should feel like, I'm going to get an honest chance to do this thing the right way. Now, how much of a sales pitch is that? I don't know, but it's the only one I can come up with for the Saints. So I'm going to say it. The next one, and these three are the ones that are kind of on the fence for me in terms of, okay, you could argue that the Saints might be more attractive. The next one is the Jets. They have Aaron Rodgers, who maybe is their quarterback. Maybe they move on from him. I feel like he's kind of in the Derek Carr situation of, well, if the next coach wants him, they might keep him around. If the next coach doesn't want him, then you move on. And if Aaron doesn't want the next coach, then he might firebomb that whole situation too. So, but they do have $28 million in cap space. Not exactly a dream scenario, but much better than the Saints, right? And so then you end up with the Saints, Derek Carr, negative $50 million. Now, it'll be zero by the start of the season. And the question is, will it be Derek Carr by the start of the season? I don't know. But four of the teams on this list have either a young quarterback who you look at and say, this is the franchise, or $100 million in cap space available that you could go out and get a Sam Darnold. You could go out and get the top quarterback on the market. Hey, you could go out and get Derek Carr if you wanted to. The two of the names on this list do not have that, and that's the Jets and the Saints. Now, what the Jets have that the Saints don't is the New York market, is a massive spotlight that's going to be on this team. If you can succeed in New York, if you can succeed with the Jets, you're a superhero. You're going to be in the headlines everywhere. You're going to be a star. Now, the Saints are going to kind of toil in obscurity. You're not going to have that attention. You're not going to be that attention seeker. So no, I would rank the Saints last. I genuinely would. I would say out of the six coaching spots available, I would rank the Saints sixth out of six. So if I'm a coach with multiple options and I have to choose between the Patriots and the Saints, the Raiders and the Saints, the Bears and the Saints, the Jaguars and the Saints, I'm picking that other team. I am. It's just being honest about it. All that said, I don't think that happens as often as people make it out. There's only six openings. There will be seven if the Cowboys move on from Mike McCarthy. We'll see how that happens. His contract's up in a week. And I would put the Cowboys ahead of the Saints too, again, because of the market. But that said, again, it's not always about, like, there's a lot more head coaching candidates than there are head coaching vacancies. So yes, if you're going all in on Mike Vrabel and you're desperately wanting Mike Vrabel, that's going to be tough for you. But you know, I look at Sean Payton. Like, Sean's told this story a number of times. He's not shy about it. Sean didn't want to come to the Saints when he got hired. Sean wanted to go coach the Packers, right? But those teams have options too. And the Packers chose Mike McCarthy. The Saints chose Sean Payton. Sean Payton chose the Packers, but the Packers didn't choose Sean Payton. So Sean Payton came and coached here. And I don't think he regrets it now. So it's really, you know, it's you make your pick, find your guy, go get him. I don't think we need to get caught up in, okay, who is the best, quote unquote, best option? Because teams get their best option all the time. They don't work out a lot of the time, right? Like, everyone was freaking out because the Jaguars hired Doug Peterson and the Jaguars looked solid in year one under Doug Peterson. How fast did that fall off a cliff? I'm like, I can't believe the Saints didn't have an in-person interview with Doug Peterson. They interviewed him by Zoom, which is, you know, it's par for the course. So we'll see. It's not about being the most attractive destination. It's about getting the right guy. And so who would be my pick? I think my pick would be, it's tough. You know, I was about to say Aaron Glenn, then I changed my mind. My issue with a defensive head coach is it would make it way too easy for the Saints to keep everything static on the offense. And I really don't want that. I want to rebuild. I want them to reset. I kind of want them to move off of Derek Carr just because, and it's not like people call me a Derek Carr stan. I think Derek Carr has been better than y'all are giving him credit for, but I still don't think he's good enough to get this team over the top. And so I do want to rebuild in that sense. And I just don't think you're going to get that with Aaron Glenn. I think that you hire Aaron Glenn because, like, oh, we can keep Clint Kubiak and we can keep things static. And that's just not going to do it for me. It's not going to do it for a lot of people. So I don't know if I'm going. Give me Joe Brady. No, let's just do Joe Brady. Let's see what happens with Joe Brady. I don't know. Like, I like what he's done in Buffalo. I like, you know, his track record as a passing game coordinator. You could theoretically keep Clint King Kubiak if you wanted as the offensive coordinator. I don't know. Like, I wouldn't hate Aaron Glenn. My issue with Aaron Glenn, my issue with defensive head coaches in general is, and we saw it, we just watched it. It's tough, I think, to be a tone setter when you are day-to-day number one on the defense. And the offense is too important to just kind of say, hey, we're going to let the offensive coordinator handle it. You could go with kind of the CEO head coach route, which that would be Darren Rizzi. And you know, I don't hate the idea of keeping Darren. No one's going to like it. Everyone's going to say it's a cop-out. Everyone's going to say whatever. I think Darren did a good job. You know, and I think the idea is, like, well, he can't possibly succeed because we watched what happened. They went 3-5, I guess. But I think this would have been a much different looking situation if you had just gone with Darren Rizzi from the start in 2022. If you had convinced DA to stick around as the defensive coordinator and said, Darren's going to be our head coach, I think we would be in a very, 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 very different situation right now than we are. You can't go back. That's a timeline that does not exist. That branch has been clipped. And you'll go from there. But that's kind of where I land. I want an offensive head coach. And you'll see what that looks like. I just think, like, we've seen it's tough to when you're not an offensive guy at the head coach position, it's tough to get the offense where you want it. And things fall through the cracks. So that's where I would lean. If I can get an offensive head coach, I'm getting an offensive head coach. If not, like, I love Aaron Glenn. I think as a coach, he's excellent. I just don't know about the setup. But, I mean, you watch what the Lions have done. You watch that culture. And It reminds you of the Sean Payton culture, right? Like it reminds you of how guys flew around with their heads on fire when Sean Payton was here and stuff you haven't seen over the last few years. So wouldn't hate it. That said, it kind of have some split allegiances there because Aaron Glenn, Jets draft pick, number 12 overall in 1994. Interesting thing about Aaron Glenn, and we haven't seen this happen in a long time, is he was actually an expansion draft pick. He was with the Jets. He was a two-time Pro Bowler. Ended up being the Houston Texans' first expansion draft pick in 2004. Went over there, was a Pro Bowler for them, but then his career kind of fizzled. He ended up with the Saints for his final season, retired. We'll see. Drew Brees likes Aaron Glenn. A lot of people like Aaron Glenn. I'm sure, he's going to have a lot of supporters. And it's just going to be a question of, okay, where do the Saints choose to land? This will not be a quick process. This will take a while. Just like all of these podcasts, they go on forever. But that's it. That's all I got to say on the coaching search. Thanks again to Scott Shanley. Thanks again to everyone who listened. We'll be back on Monday talking about what Mickey Loomis had to say. And we're going to go from there. Hopefully he's not chewing gum this time. We'll find out. But until then, do that. Go Saints. Thanks, y'all.